Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West. This is our reviews issue for February the 15th, and this week we'll be reviewing Wonder Twins number one, Daredevil number one, but firstly we have...
Young Justice number two. So we've got our writer, Brian Michael Bendis.
Woo-woo.
I bow. and then we have art by Patrick Gleason, and then for like, what was it, 9 to 12, it was Emanuela Lapacino. Yeah, did I say that right? No?
Close enough.
Sure, alright.
I don't know enough Italian, so...
Whatever you say your name is, I'll take it. So, we had our second issue after the first one, which was so damn brilliant. And now we get a little insight to some Wonder Girl, and... this comic is great. I'm not gonna lie, there's a little salt, because I'm like, oh, they're like, he's like, Connor, how are you alive? And then they just start pairing everybody, and like, you
know. Yeah, we get no Connor stuff in this.
Yeah.
Things I didn't know I needed in my life was Tim Drake riding a armored unicorn.
That is a battle corn.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Don't mean to. I'm sorry.
Wow, Matt. You don't even know the difference between a unicorn and a battle corn.
I am just enamored with the artwork so much that I flubbed up my words, okay?
Well, the best part is I thought for a minute he had, like, a jousting pole, and I realized that it's just his, like, his little...
His staff.
His staff. And I'm like, no one knew they needed this.
Again, who is Amethyst, and why, like, I want more...
She's the princess of Gemworld.
Yeah, but, like, give me more.
So easily. And, oh, yeah, it's just, no, it's just fine.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah, I love how things in comics are just so easily explained like that. Like, the most ridiculous thing. Who is this person? Oh, they're the princess of an alien race that's mostly gem people. Oh, naturally. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it. Nothing. Not too self-explanatory.
Oh, yeah, I get it now. You know, this one was a little bit of a slowdown for me. Well, compared to the first issue. Like, the first issue was just hitting the ground running, and so now Bendis has kind of taken a step back. I feel like he's probably going to go through and probably have it, like, the next few issues devoted to different characters and what they've been up to.
I'm assuming he's going to do, like, Team Synergy a little bit, too, because you saw bits and pieces of it, so that'll probably... You'll get your character flashbacks and your character synergy and...
Well, because the next, it says next, whatever happened to Connor Kent. So this one was the Wonder Girl-centric issue, and assuming we're going to get Connor Kent next, and then, you know,
maybe issue four others. Is Robin. It's going to be Tim Drake.
Issue four is Robin, and then...
I love Tim Drake!
You know, I hope we get a Jenny Hex and Teen Lantern backstory, even though I hate Teen Lantern, but I still want to see why I hate her so much.
Why do you hate Teen Lantern?
Yeah. I don't know! Why? I honestly don't know. I wish I would like her. She's a cool, like... It's a cool concept. I just, like... hate her dialogue. I just, like, hate when she's... And maybe that's because Brian Michael Bendis is doing a good job of writing her as, like, kind of an annoying character.
Yeah, and, well, and she's being, like, particularly cryptic, you know, like, not really showing anything. And
she won't even come out of the...
the mech.
The mech.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll see where we go with this. But That's my only bad thing I have to say about this, but it might also be a good thing. I might eat my own words later.
I want to make sure, like, Pat Gleason, man, he's doing so good on this book. I'm glad that Lupacino's art didn't take me out of the book to do the little Wonder Girl piece.
Yeah, I actually thought it melded pretty well, and I didn't really think about it until after when we were talking about it.
Yeah, until you mentioned it, I actually didn't realize there were two artists on it, so.
Yeah, that's good. I noticed right away. I think
the dude who went to school for art. What?
Right,
that's your job, Matt. That's why we keep you around.
Yeah, no joke. Lupacino's art. I think his Wonder Girl, his or her Wonder Girl. I'm not sure. Their Wonder Girl is a little too older to me. Like she doesn't seem as young. Whereas I think Gleason illustrates her as being a younger character.
Oh, so
did
you
say that she wasn't in high school anymore?
I mean, she's clearly in a high school field, but I don't know if that she just, like,
I thought she said in the dialogue that she's not, like,
oh, yeah,
in
she's,
high school.
I think she says something about, like, I hate being back here or something like that. Yeah. That sounds familiar. But,
yeah.
But, yeah, no, now that I'm looking at it, the Gleason's Wonder Girl definitely looks, like, closer to 14 or 15.
Yeah.
Maybe even, like, 13 or something. And then Lapacciano is... close to, like, 17, 18.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not too much of a difference, but I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
There's more youthful quality to Pat Gleason's art.
Yeah. Nice. I would agree with that.
I also like the angles more. There's more sharp.
Sharpness to it. Who is her mom?
I don't know.
That was the one thing that he mentioned for Zeus he was talking about. Because she runs into Zeus, or he finds her, whatever. Zeus shows up. and he said something like, she's, you're just as, like, something, some, you know, normal trope, you're just as stubborn as your mother or something like that. And I'm like, who the hell's her mom?
Is Wonder Woman not her mom?
No.
Okay. No. Never mind then.
But I think...
I'm not too familiar.
Did she call her aunt at all? I don't remember. Didn't she? I think she's related to Wonder Woman in some way. I don't know how, though.
Oh, I think that sounds familiar.
I can't remember.
Yeah, maybe she's her niece or something.
I'll be glad to tell me that story.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
Well, they mentioned Wonder Woman number something, so I'm like, what did I miss?
Yeah, right? Seriously.
But, yeah, I think she is somehow related to Wonder Woman, but...
Still digging this book, though. Definitely, like, on board. I'm glad it's on Mark's
page. Let's go. I love Tim Drake.
I'm super excited to see where this goes.
Cool.
All right.
Well, I am going to talk... We'll lead us off on Daredevil number one. This is the relaunched post... What was the Man Without Fear miniseries?
I haven't finished it.
It's written by Chip Zdarsky with art by Marco Shishetto. There's actually a backup little story where Chip Zdarsky also does the art.
Oh, he does the art in the backup story? Yeah. Nice.
Which is really cool. Yeah. I really dug this. I felt like this is once again... Marvel does a lot of synergy where, you know, their other properties get leaked, or their other mediums get leaked into the comics. Yep. And this very much felt like a reflection of the Netflix Daredevil series. So, so I was into that. I like the darkness in this. There was a lot in here that just really I enjoyed. I especially liked, and this is, you know, me being the art guy, the new costume for Daredevil is absolutely fantastic. I think it's the best melding of the different styles to make him, like, what?
I was just joking about your love of character design the other day. Like, if your house ever burned down, you'd run back in to grab a character design out, and Kara would be there in the window, like, looking out.
So you're like, I can draw her later, right?
This Wonder Woman character design is amazing. I can't let it burn.
I didn't really realize this before, but I dig his like, hand wraps.
Yeah, but he has the hand wraps, and he actually is wearing, like, a ninja pants and boots.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just, like, a different look to the character. It's just subtly combining things. I also think that they led us nicely into the big reveal that, you know, his actions have led to death. And I think that's, like, an important thing to do, is to finally ask that question, because he's not back to being 100%. So...
Yeah. Well, that's what it came down to from because there were 3 issues out of the 5 of Man of Fear where... He's been destroyed so much. Man without, I don't remember right now, but his body's been destroyed so much. He finally, like, the thing that finally kind of takes him down a notch is Bastard gets hit by a truck.
Yeah. Like, that's.
And he's still not dead.
I think they led us nicely. I know that you've got a different opinion on this, though.
I do have a different opinion, and I did not like this at all. I thought, like you were saying, it's leaning heavily on the Netflix special, and we already get his background in that.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, almost this entire comic is his backstory and how he became Daredevil, and it's like Batman. We already know Daredevil's back. If you're a comic reader at all, you already know Daredevil's backstory. He's Catholic, he went blind as a kid, blah, blah, blah. He did that. I don't know why you need to reiterate that. And then I didn't think that. Like, that you were saying, the big reveal that his actions have consequences. I disagree with that. You see that Kingpin smiles while he's watching the news, so it's going to be... I'm fairly certain that this is leading into another Kingpin sets Daredevil up story.
The dude, because he dies of head trauma. He smashes his head into the back, and that is like a soft spot.
I think he was telling us that he killed him on sight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so. I think that's what he wants us to think, naturally. Either way, we've already seen this one, too. Like, you know, the one bad day type deal.
But one bad day type deal is to turn the character into a villain. I don't think that that's what we're seeing here. We're seeing...
Or maybe not one bad day. That's a bad metaphor, but...
I'm going to push back on that. This is an issue number one. This is the reset of continuity, and I think having a little primer to give new readers that moment to actually learn a little bit about the origin. You get the Man Without Fear stuff hadn't really been part of the character's true origin. That was the out-of-continuity story that had him in the black bandages in college. That was something that was not necessarily always part of Daredevil's true origin story. So that's integrating that proto-costume and that proto-Daredevil into the actual continuity of the character. And I like that.
I mean, I thought that he had those flashbacks were more than just them telling us about, oh, this is Daredevil. This is what happened to him. Because when he was a kid, the first story you run into is the priest says, oh, you got caught.
Yeah.
So I think there's more to him than just them showing us his backstory.
I think they're going to tie a lot of, like, his adolescence being in the church, like, mm-hmm. formulating what Daredevil later becomes.
Because even he mentions, like, at one point, too, like, when they're sitting in there, kind of his little... While he's sitting in there listening to the thing, and the priest comes up and he's like, "Well, Dad's always working because of the hospital bills." I think it's giving a little more insight to why his dad did what he did, and maybe him feeling a little more at fault for what happened to his dad.
I also think the juxtaposition of the flashback story into the main story worked well. Like, it didn't take me out. Like, it was actually integrated.
As well as the fact that this is kind of like a He's not 100%, which means he's not normal Daredevil.
Right.
Because he doesn't have as good a control of his body. Like, he actually has a misstep where he almost falls off the side of a roof because he's not all the way there. So yeah. That's...
I think it plays with the drug addict addiction of Daredevil being that, like, he's addicted to the fight.
Yep.
He's addicted to the blood.
And that's the whole point of, I think, those entire backs is that he's not actually... addicted to, he's not necessarily doing it for the good of mankind, he's doing it because he needs to, like, he has that urge to hit something.
I was a fan of this new, this continuity feels like a Daredevil I could read and get behind.
Cool. So well I'm glad you liked it. I wish I could have enjoyed it as much as y'all did, because I'm just sitting over here all salty and stuff, and that's the last thing you want to do when you're supposed to be reading comics, which are, you know, essentially fun. It's supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, to some degree. There's some comics out there, when you read them, you're like, I'm not sure anybody had fun with this.
Well, fair, but yeah, fun can take on different forms, sure. I guess. But
I actually ordered the next one, too, but I have to...
Nice.
The ones I swear to God, like, the ones I subscribe to, I despise, and then the ones that I just, like, I just pull one, and then I pull one. Freaking a door, and then I forget about him. It's just annoying.
This movie sold like hotcakes. Or movie, God. This comic sold like hotcakes. It was just like,
that was a great movie that I read.
Yeah. blurring the lines there. Jeez, sorry, I shouldn't be as tired as I am. I'm sipping a cup of coffee right now too. Yeah.
Maybe we need to cut you off from the coffee.
Maybe a little loopy. Maybe I need like an apple or something.
Alright, let's lead into our round three.
Lastly, and certainly not leastly, we have Wonder Twins number one, Activate number one. This is written by Mark Russell and art by Stephen Byrne. Byrne. Nice. Cool. This was awesome. I'm a huge fan of Mark Russell writing, so I picked this up specifically because of him. And it did not let me down at all. It exceeded the last page exceeded my expectations just completely. If the rest of the comic is like this, then I will be reading this until the earth turns to ash.
Oh my God, I was laughing out loud reading this. I read this at the shop at Griffin Games and Comics, and I was just sitting enjoying my lunch laughing out loud. The awkwardness of teenage years amplified by being an alien from another planet, beautiful juxtaposition. Like that's the way that's how you get people into a story.
If you already feel weird about your teenage years, then you know also being an alien definitely does not help.
Thunderlust.
I was looking for it. I was trying to find
that. That's the one thing is I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I know what this is actually pointing to for like young boys and like something you can get in trouble with when you're that age.
Yeah. So there's a bit in the comic, and they start out by. Zan is giving a lecture in front of the class, and he starts talking about his home planet, and then, like, it's very peaceful and boring until the thunder comes, and then the thunderlust strikes, and men and women gesticulate into the night.
And bodily fluids are involved.
Bodily fluids part, I was like, okay.
Men turn to women, and women turn to animals. And
yeah.
And his teacher is like, all right, sit down, and then... Later, when there's a thunderstorm and Zan's outside, he gets hit with his first thunderlust ever.
In the middle of gym class. God.
And that's kind of the thing where I'm like, I know exactly what that's pointing to, and I'm not even a boy.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. His teacher made up and, you know, answered a math question during a thunderstorm. You know,
I love the fact that what that leads us to is the Batman awkward story.
Oh my god!
His cool pet that he was gonna get to.
Yep. The alligator.
Yeah, Batman is like trying to comfort him. Yeah.
Writing dark poetry.
Writing dark, yeah.
I love that.
I like how that's canon now. That right Batman, now, it's, as a teenager, wrote dark poetry.
I would like to point out though that it's his dark poetry is set to the song of what was it?
How Deep Is Your Love
by the Bee Gees.
By the Bee Gees, and he's like, and for a year, people only called me Bee Gee, and then later, Wonder Woman is like, okay, Bee Gee, come on, let's go. Oh man, gosh, yes, this is just an absolute and I guess spoilers because this is a review show, but so the whole MacGuffin essentially is that Mr. I'm gonna go with the Supergirl pronunciation. Mixus Spidlick is unleashed on the Earth, and so the Justice League is trying to go stop him. And he's too powerful, and essentially the very last page, he just appears, and the Wonder Twins, like, they're with the supercomputer, and they're like, just repeat that, but backwards, and the supercomputer does, and then he disappears. It's literally, like, it's less than a page that you get of it, and the whole comic, the entire Justice League has been trying to fight him off. So if we get that sort of, like style of superheroing where she doesn't even put down her coffee to defeat like the biggest bad.
It's pretty awesome.
I will say I was a little sad that we didn't get to see Wonder Woman talk about something awkward for
her. I know, I wanted it so bad.
There's gotta be something, especially so on an island full of women.
Because Superman had an awkward teenage story.
He literally fell into the boys' bathroom because he tried to swap.
Yeah. That's right.
It's so good. Oh, and then the Wonder Twin powers activate moment.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounded really bad out loud.
Yeah, and then I love Batman when Superman's like, oh yeah, what are the aliens? And he's like, they're changelings. He's like, oh, that sounds useful. He's like, yeah, one can turn into the animals and the other can turn into water. And they just kind of look at each other like, okay. Like, do you just become like a little puddle? Form of an eagle, shape of a bucket of water.
Every damn time.
Well, and then at least he's like sentient water that can like travel.
I know, right?
Like, it's not just like... He's also he wants to join the hockey team and he turns into the ice rink. I'm like, all right, well, this speaks to teenage boyhood years. His face is like on the ice.
Yeah. Oh,
that's good ice. Damn fine ice.
The coach says I'm indispensable. Oh man, yeah. It kind of reminded me of, have either of you ever seen Sky High?
Yes.
Yeah. Is the one person definitely like just turns into a puddle of water. So
that's a great movie.
I know, but
this was like for me too. Wonder Comics in general is the DC I want us to have. It's like the DC we deserve.
maybe that's why we don't get too much of it, is because they're like, you don't deserve all of this bad. We're like, please.
Well, because right now we're 3-for-3, right? We had Young Justice, Naomi, and Wonder Twins are all Wonder Comics thus far.
Yep, and then there's... I feel like there's another one that I'm totally missing.
I'm not sure anything else is released yet. Dial Maybe not. Superhero should be the next one.
Yeah.
That's in March.
So. Yeah. I'm just making things up and lying. Fake news, everyone. Fake news podcast.
I would like to point out that that Xander also gets lost in the sewer when he turns into water.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right.
This was like such a well-written book. Also, the characterization of the Justice League characters really worked, too. Like, it felt like almost the animated series...
Yeah.
Versions of the characters. Like, I heard Kevin Conroy and Tim Daly, mm-hmm. you know? It's like, oh, yeah.
I would love to listen to Kevin Conroy literally talk about his teenage angst. Bit.
Yeah. I want to hear the poem.
Right?
Oh, I like it.
I want to hear it quietly in the background of that BG song playing.
Or at least just, like, the first few lines.
Right?
Of it, yeah. And then it just, like, gives us an ellipsis.
Because the only time we've heard Batman sing twice, it was once in Justice League when he does the like lounge singer stuff, and then in the Lego movie when he sings his Black Coffee song about darkness. So,
Jesus,
yeah,
never skip leg day.
Yeah, was, man. The best meme that ever came of that was when they released Titans, and they had a what was it? The Robin, happy go lucky, fuck Batman.
Oh man, so good. Yeah, wow, If Wonder Comics continues like this, like, I was probably going to pick up Dial H for Hero, but I don't know, like, any of the creative team on it. Like, I've gotten into Wonder Comics because it's Bendis and then Russell and then,
I just pulled the first one, so.
Yeah, but if the line continues as it is currently, then I am going to be broke again.
Yeah. It's good these are monthlies to you, which is nice. It's like a breath of fresh air to... You're excited when you get them in your hands.
Stop bi-weekly me.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know that I expected Wonder Twins to be as enjoyable as it was.
I had no expectations, because
I mean, the fact
show.
That they actually made fun of them.
He was, well, they were characters in the Super Friends.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
And then...
They don't have their monkey yet.
Nope, but he's definitely on the cover for later issues.
Yep, so I have no background with these characters. At all. Their characterization, like, they're very distinct personalities too, which I like. They didn't go for, like, the twin trope of them being the same person.
Right, yeah.
And then, oh man. Yeah, and, how do you say her name? Janu?
Zan and Jaina.
Jaina, that's it. Okay, her, like, speech in the beginning over the morning announcements is just so great.
Oh, and Flash, are we Flash setting up the hummus trays for the track team?
Yeah.
It's like, when does Flash have time to be, like, the coach of the track squad?
He's the Flash. Like, if I could have his powers just to get work done, oh, God, I'd take it.
I just imagine him, like, trying to model, like, running. Like, all right, so watch carefully. When you stride, you want to go like this. All right. Everyone catch that? All right, now.
Once again, we're going to do pose-to-pose running.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's just a blink, and then he's back in the same spot, you know, around the track. Oh, yeah.
That's, yeah.
There's just only good things to say about this. And
I'm hoping I get my Wonder Woman awkward teenage.
I know, I wanted it so bad. I wanted it so bad.
I'll tease me with Superman and Batman, and don't give me the trinity of stories.
Maybe that's why he's saving it for the next issue.
Bold prediction: she's going to tell the story, and in her mind, it's really awkward, and everybody else is just going to be blushing. Like, it's going to be like an accidental like first kiss with another woman with that mascara, and everybody's going to be like. Red, you know, like
or something like it. Yeah, she thinks it's embarrassing, but it's actually like super romantic. Like, like, I don't like this story, but I picked 100,000 roses and spelt out her name and like the on the beach just to try to get me to like try to get her to like me. That's very embarrassing, and everyone's just like, man, I wish I had a partner that would do that for me.
I want to see sad Batman.
Sad,
just like, oh,
sad man.
Bee Gees. This is Bee Gees playing in the background.
Now I kind of want to reread the issue with How Deep Is Your Love just playing. Right?
So. I love that song.
Oh, man. I mean, we're cracking up here talking about the references. And so. Man.
I would highly suggest it. Yeah,
read it. It's such a blast. So much fun.
Even with Adults Wild, it's even better in writing than what we can describe.
Yeah.
Form of a great comic. You're shape right. of an awesome book.
All right. Cool. Well, that's it.
Yeah, wow. I think that's all we have to say.
So. Actually made it through fairly fast.
Yeah. Well, with that, I guess let's say bye then.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.